Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Spring Trio. Okay, so that was a bit much, right? The intro music, the solo show, put a little bit of top, right? Yeah, I thought so. I originally wanted, the Elvis thing, 2001. Should be something simple and stupid.
It all started here. She was a girl from the Midwest. He was a stranger in a strange land. Same old story. Came to the glory. She came looking for a young man's hand. But then found bright lights and endless nights. And then just used her as a way. He found her all so free. Put the tide by the sea. Then I sat at the reason that I can't forget. They were two souls searching for each other. One spirit looking for the other. Caught between a hard, hard place and a rock. Two souls searching for heaven. Rolling the dice, looking for a seven. To the tick, tick, ticking time. Too many nights on the ledge. He acquired, does that mean mine? Nights on the ledge. He acquired a knife edge. Still sitting in acquiesce to his demands. Sometimes he cried for pity. In the heart of the city, the city smacked her hand. He met a woman this night. Her eyes had a light. There was something familiar about the smell of his skin. He held her tighter and tighter as he danced inside. She knew on the floor that she let him in. That they were two souls searching for each other. One spirit looking for the other. Caught between a hard, hard place and a rock. Two souls searching for heaven. Rolling the dice, looking for a seven. To the tick, tick, tick in a time. Gotta beat the clock. Beat the clock. Beat the clock. Beat the clock. And there were two souls searching for each other. One spirit looking for the other. Caught between a hard, hard place and a rock. Two souls searching for heaven, rolling the dice, looking for a seven. To the tick, tick, tick in the time, gotta beat the clock.
Well, I wrote that song about my hot girlfriend. Who became my hot wife. Any questions, girls? You're all those posters, right? I like them too. My wife suggested this song title actually for this next song, and I guess I owe 50% of the song. But only if you get a divorce. Warm because you're going back east, so I... My heater don't work in my room. I may take you up on that later. It's a well-oiled machine. Or a well-oiled well-oiled machine. I forgot to step on the tuner. So this episode's gonna be cold, so I packed my heavy shorts, my extra thick flip-flops, and a nice warm t-shirt. But I think they meant, what's that white stuff out there? I thought it was sand at first, you know? So when I was 14, I just got back from England. This is a storyteller, right? All right, well, once upon a time, there were 3 days. Father Bear, Mother Bear. So I just got back from England. Okay, this is really gonna freak me out. I have ADD, and there are people walking back there, and I can see them. Yes, I see you. And I'm going, instantly, my ADD kicks in. Oh my God, there's people walking. Oh, look at the Christmas lights. They're awesome. Oh, Christmas lights. I don't want to leave the Christmas. Oh, wait. I wonder, are they leaving? Do they not like the show? Are they coming in? I wonder if they're going to sit there. My mind goes freaking nuts. Anybody else here have ADD? What are you putting your hands up for? No flash photography, and don't look me in the eye. So, that is a lovely Christmas tree, I think, I must say. When I was 14, I just come back from England, back to Australia, where I grew up. I spent a couple of years in England. My parents didn't like me, so they sent me away. No, actually, my dad was in the army. We moved over there. And whenever you're the new kid in school, and I was always the freaking new kid in school, you got picked on. And there was this one guy. I'm watching you, sister. Are you going to sit down, or you got a flashlight? Are you showing something? Oh, you better not be sitting there. I'm going to give you so much shit if you're sitting there. So this kid's picking on me. He's the cool kid. He's blonde hair, really good-looking guy. And he's giving me all the eggs to bring to the idiot, you know. And I open up my locker one day, and he's over me, you know, giving crap to me. And there's a photo of a band there that I love. I'm stuck on my inside of my locker. You used to do that, right? Yeah. They made it out on you. Did you, sir? Possibly not. Okay. All right. Anyway, so I open up my locker, and this kid goes, "You like that band?" I said, "Yeah, I love it." He said, "So do I." And we became best friends. Just like that. Which you can do when you're 14 over a photo of a band. You know, now it's like, I'm sure you're very nice, and I'm just not taking any new friends right now. Right? But back then, over a band, absolutely. So we became best friends, and he played guitar, so we started to play guitar together. We formed our first band, and the band was called the Icy Blues. Okay, pretty cool name, yeah? No. At first gig, we actually played for some kid's party, and we got paid like a pound, which is like $3. But that was incredible. I couldn't believe I got paid. I would have done it for nothing. I still would. I'm joking. All right, so we did some pretty, you know, I started bumming out of school. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to play guitar, and school wasn't working for me. Actually, if I'd known they had calculators in the future, I wouldn't have even bothered with that. We'd go into a guitar store. We were bad kids, but we had a good heart. We go into the very wealthy guitar store. We steal a couple of guitars and we sell them at school. We never got caught. We actually bought a car. So 2 15-year-olds walk into this car place and go, "We'd like to buy a car." The guy knew we were underage, so he sold us this piece of crap. We drive around for a while, park it up the streets, and also our parents don't know. We come to drive it one morning, and someone stole it. And we're incensed. Yeah, how could somebody steal a car from a couple of kids? Because they eluded us, and we'd stolen a couple of guitars to get the car in the first place. So that guy's name was John, and I still see him, and I'm going back to Australia in 3 days to see my old mother. Oh, Richard! My mother sounds a lot like Monty Python. And I will see John, and we'll get together, we'll pull out the guitars and play all the old Beatles songs like we used to. And this is a song about my friend John from the Living in Oz album. Okay.
Dude, did you just kind of shut up? Just freaking play the songs, dude.
I don't care.
I love you too. More than you know. So, this is a song called Me and Johnny.
Looking back, I see we broke a few rules. Left one or two hearts in ruin. Spent all that precious time doing things we figured the president might have done. Stole a few cars, never got caught. We started some fights in the scrimmage. We got caught up in the image. Played a young rebels by the handbook. Looking back, I guess we had some attitude, but we were going in hard and tough. Damn, Johnny, we're gonna play it tonight. It's gonna be your faces change. We were gonna be McCartney clones. We skipped school to see the Rolling Stones. We sang their songs on the train on our way home. We were gonna be like all of them. A couple miles to the very end. Live for girls, guitars, and glory. And someday they'll write our story. Sometimes I think that they got this in the day. But we were gonna be hard and tough. Me and Johnny, we're gonna play it to a friend. It's gonna be alright. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Me and Johnny. Chasing whatever it is to put me out here on the road in the first place. I think at times I could have stabbed loud, wishing I was still running with the same old crowd. Sometimes it can make you cry just watching the years roll by. Me and Johnny, we're gonna play tonight. It's gonna be alright.
Favorite new thing is called Band in a Box. Round of applause for Band in a Box. I wanted to add a little more than just me. You know, honestly, I played a couple of songs and I bored the hell out of myself. So I wanted to add it a little more. So this is all me playing and singing everything here, because I didn't think it was fair to have other guys playing in a solo show, right? So it's all me. And you get 7 or 8 of me for the price of one. And a couple of them drink. So, you might get lucky if you're single tonight. See, meet him at the bar. Don't talk to number 7, though. You have severe sexual issues. You don't have your... So, my first trip overseas in a band was, guess where? Wasn't America, wasn't England. Yes, it was Vietnam in 1968. I was 17 years old. And I was just a guitar player. The leader of the band came to me and said, "We're going overseas." I thought, awesome, England, you know, Japan even. We're going to Vietnam. And I said, "Isn't there some kind of fracas going on in there?" I was a pretty cool 17-year-old. I was into music. I didn't really, you know. So I thought it was going to be Bob Hope, you know, USO tour, and Margaret up there, and they fly us in a fleet of helicopters, you know, with guns all around to protect us and fly us out.
No.
It was some single guy, American guy in Saigon, who was bringing Australian bands over because we were the closest. Where are you going? Hey! I'm sorry? Shove that over, sit down.
Can I come up?
You going to the bathroom? Wave if you are. Or if you're not, give me a drink. So, there was this guy that brought Australian bands over. And, you know, we had to have a couple of pretty girls in the band, which we got, and to the GIs. And we, you know where a fire base is? It's where the GIs used to go into the jungle, and they build some, you know, fight their way in, and then set up some tanks, put barbed wire around them, and then put some claymore mines on the outside. That's a fire base, and that's where they drive us into to play. And they drive us in trucks over, like, you know, a dirt road that a jeep had hit a mine the day before and killed like five guys. And we had no idea. I mean, they'd set us up on sandbags, and the guys would be sitting there with the M16s and helmets ready to go out and, you know, do what they had to do. And we'd be sitting there, they'd be up there playing, you know, 60s, right?
You know that I would be alive if I was the same to you. Girl, it couldn't get much higher.
I wasn't singing, I was just a guitar player. And suddenly we hear these thumps. And I go, "Is someone banging on the side of the tent?" And you hear some guy go, "That's incoming, gentlemen." And I go, "Oh, is there more people coming in? Awesome, come on. We're just getting started." These guys with guns would start diving under the tables. And this guy would run on to us and hustle us out into a bunker, sandbag bunker. Because they were being attacked by the Viet Cong, and they'd rocket and waters, and a firefight would happen for about 30 minutes, and then, you know, be all, woo, all clear, we come back on. I was so scared for 4 months we were there. I almost killed the band with a hand grenade. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. So I had one feature song as a guitar player. And the singer actually let me sing it for three shows. And then he said, "You know what? I'll sing it. You just play guitar. But tonight I'm going to sing it." Hello, well. My big feature in Vietnam.
Sheep, my man, I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. Don't ask what I think of you, I might not give the answer that you want me to. Stick by me and I'll be your guiding hand. Don't answer what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to. Yeah.
Children in the audience, we have to be careful. Alright, so the first song I ever wrote for an album that became Working Class Dog was a song called Love Is Alright Tonight. And is that the album cover up now? I see a black square. It's very distracting for somebody who has ADD. Oh, you're back! Is that mine? Come on, this is like performing for a bunch of my friends. I am very, very impressed. Here's looking up your address. Too much or I get silly. You aren't that silly. So, and this song is, I was always a loner at school, like I said, and I always wanted to be the cool guy, and I never was because I only stayed at school like every 2 years. You know, my dad moved all over the place, so he was in the army, and he was shipped all over the place. So I was never the cool guy. But I had to wait till I was 29 or 30 before I could write a song about how I wanted to be when I was 15. And this is the song. Don't worry, Daddy, I'll have a home with a respectable hour. It's called Love Is Alright Tonight. That's nice, real good.
Go to sleep, Daddy, you won't think about it.
the night on the field, and God, just incredible power. Gonna love a daddy super feeling tonight. Alright, it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
So I love the blues, and when I was 16, my first band was a blues band. And who better to play the blues than a 16-year-old white middle-class boy? Right? He knows where it's at blues-wise, I think. So my first real like working band was called Mafa Blues, and these guys were pretty tough. They came from an area in Melbourne called Jordanville, and that is a very rough area. And I was 15, 16, and they were like 24 and 25, way older. And a couple of them had been in prison, and some of the hangers-on had been in prison more than once. We had always had a bunch of guys. There was one guy named Tony, like with pockmarked face, and very, very scary guy, hard as iron. And he'd been inside a couple of times. I was always nervous around Tony. And I was playing with them and having a great time, and then finally a band came up to me and said, "We really like your playing." You know, a pop band came up to me and "Would you like to play with us?" And I said, "Dude, that sounds like a good plan. I mean, you know, 16-year-old white boy playing blues, I don't know how far that's going to go for me. So I'll join the pop band." So I went to these guys and the blues band, I said, "Guys, I got a better offer, so this will be my last gig. Thank you very much, it's been awesome." They said, "We'll break your friggin' legs." I said, "Excuse me? We'll break your friggin' legs if you leave. You can't leave the band." And they meant it. And they knew guys who could break my legs for free. So I'd already committed to this other band, so I'm playing the last gig with these guys, and I'm freaking out. I know I'm just gonna get pummeled at the end of it. So, you know, the show finishes, and I'm looking around, who's got the baseball hat? And Tony walks up. "Yes, hey, come here." I go, "Oh, shit. Come outside." I said, "I know, but this is it. I know what's going to happen." So we go outside. He says, "Get in the van." Jeez, I can't even run. So I get in the van. He shuts the door. Just sit down. I sit down. Of course. He goes, "You go do what you want to do. I'll take care of these guys." I could have kissed him. The big mean guy became my protector. And of course, I went and joined the pop band, and the rest is, well, not exactly history, because it took me another 15, 20 years to get there. But thanks to Tony. And tonight, this is a song I used to play with the band, the blues band called Rollin' and Tumblin'. And this one's for Tony tonight.
Thank you.
trumpets. George hasn't. 3 weeks is his maximum. So if you've been in a relationship longer than 3 weeks, you know your arguments come up, right? It isn't all smooth sailing. I've been with my wife for 30 years. You should be applauding her. She's the reason that we're still together. And the great thing about arguments is you get great songs out of them. And I've actually, when I've, you know, been in a writer's block, I'll actually kind of force an argument to get something going. Who are you looking at? But, anyone got kids here? Aren't they the worst?
Yes.
I love my kids, but we argue all the time about raising them. I was raised with a very strict mom. Y'all know what my mom sounds like. Richard! Come in my house, what? And my wife was raised by college, her dad was a college professor, so it was all coming whenever you want, it's all cool. So when we had kids, of course, she wanted to be very disciplined, very strong discipline. And I said, just go do what you want. I want to just have a free life, be free. Go be free. If you want some money, here's 20 bucks for another video game. So we had a lot of arguments over that. And this next song is about that. Everybody, at that point in my life, everybody go, we were living kind of the perfect life, you know, we had a nice house and a new baby, and I was, you know, recording and touring and everything, but inside it was, we were in absolute turmoil. We thought our relationship was going to be over because of this crazy child, who is the love of my life now, and sorry, ADD hit again. I did this, and I'm like, hey, that's a G. I wonder if they know it's a G, or if I think I just made a mistake. And that person over there is on the cell phone. I can see her face there on the cell phone. Is she looking at a photo she just took, or is she texting someone because she's bored out of her freaking mind? Really, that's the reason I drink, to shut some of those voices up. Anyway, so this song is called Honeymoon in Beirut. It's off Rock of Life. And It's about appearances, not being what they really are. You know, I'm sure everybody knows the couple. You go, they're so perfect. Why aren't we like them? He loves her so much, she loves him. They have a perfect life. But they don't, because behind closed doors, I just had some friends split up that I thought we're going to be married forever. So if people ask me, how do you stay married? I say, you don't get divorced. But it's not for everybody, I know. So let's go honeymoon in a big room. Don't laugh, girl. I'm talking about you right now.
I wake up every night, take a sound of breaking glass. She's in the bed, text in the hall, kidnapped and left for ransom. The one we let you know, we're waiting for the fall. We're emotional bullet holes in the wall. Wish you were here under the neighbor. Although I keep on sending postcards in prayer. Tell me, why do I stay?
I don't know.
Under the neighbor. At least we keep pretending sixes and sevens.
Tell me,
why can't we say there is no hope?
This is no hope.
No,
no.
This is no hope.
It's the only time that I ever used the word my baby, and actually meant my baby. Is there a tuna back there, George, or you just let me win?
Wait, which is... Oh, there it is.
My mistake. George is slumming it tonight, helping me out here, because George played bass in my band. And he's a good guitar player in his own right, too.
What?
I said great. Oh, no. Really great. So, when I, when things first started happening for me in the 80s, I had... You there? Really? You don't look old now. So, I hadn't had a lot of luck with girls up until that point. So, suddenly they all started, like, wanting some attention. So, I mean, I love women, and I always treated them well, but I was a bit of a bad boy as far as my girlfriend's concerned. So, I assumed if I was being a bad boy, that she must be doing the same thing at home. She wasn't. She's an awesome person. And I owe her everything. But I was sure she was at this point. And I wrote the song about it. When you were just a young girl still in school, I couldn't never let the golden rule. Don't talk to strangers and don't be a fool. I'm hearing stories, I don't think that's cool. Tell me someone is loving you, 'cause you're my girl, some say don't look a trail. You see, I'm so sick, quite in love. I beg you, sing with me.
Don't talk to strangers.
Baby, don't you talk. And now we only use you up. Don't talk to me. Nobody, nobody will do it. Billy Boo. You forgot about the ticket. Yeah, I did. Wait a minute, I thought you were moving in. How's life in a big city? I hear the competition, oh baby, that's a pity. And every man's an actor, the girl is pretty. I don't like what's getting back to me. Thousands don't mind, I'm a hero. Love has turned and wants a lot. Did you want a fair sight or did you need a show? Sing the other part.
Baby blue guitar.
Yeah, you so, sure.
going crazy. Do they even have a condom? Are they at shops back there? They're like, what shop? It's one of the Santa Claus, because there's a tree right there. So it was suggested I do a song that I didn't write, so one that I wish I'd written. So there was a band in the 70s called Badfinger. And the record is it. You get a free pass because you brought beer back. This is the first one I've had in about 2 weeks. I've been drinking tequila. So the band called Badfinger, they were Beatle protege. They had,
no matter what you are, I will always be with you.
You know that one?
I can't live without you.
Yep, you know that? No, that wasn't Mariah Carey first. That was, that was Pete Ham from Badfinger. So there's a song I wrote called, appropriately, Baby Blue. Baby Blue Guitar. Which is your favorite guitar here? We have a beauty contest. So let's hear for the red one. That's it? All right. How about the blue one? How about the black one with the shiny part? I think we have a winner. That one just broke in half. We had to glue it back together. So, I'm a big Todd Rundgren fan. Anyone know Todd Rundgren fan? So, all my early chord progressions, like I Don't Talk to Strangers, I stole them from Todd Rundgren, those chord progressions. And I used to listen to Todd all the time in the 70s, so when I had some hits, I finally said, hey, I'm a good writer, Todd's a good writer, I'm going to call him up. So I called him up and said, hey Todd, you want to get together and write? He goes, sure, come on up. I'm up in San Francisco. So I got my car, drove 8 hours from LA up to San Francisco. Todd's there, we get this in his music room. He gets on the piano, we'll sit there, and for about 4 hours, we're going, mama, I love you, baby. Baby, I love you. Nothing. Nothing. He finally says, you know, I don't really write pop songs anymore. I thought, could you told me that before I drove 8 friggin' hours? But he's very sweet, and he made dinner, and you know, in San Francisco, the natives, when they eat, they whip out the doobie. And I had smoked since Vietnam. I smoked all through Vietnam, because it's the only way to get through it. Just every day was a storm. But I hadn't really done it since then. So I was like, well, when in Rome, or in this case, San Francisco, do as the San Franciscans do. So I took a tote, a couple of totes, hit me like a friggin' brick wall. Gish! So we're watching television, right? Todd's there, his wife is there, his son is there, and his ex-wife, Bibi, who is now gay and living with Todd with her girlfriend, is in San Francisco, you do that kind of thing. Is lying on the couch, her head up there and her feet down here, and I'm kind of sitting on the edge of the couch, we're all watching television, right? is this awesome show? It's like the greatest show ever. Who knew Gomer Pyle was so deep? And I start feeling this on my butt. You know, when you're stoned, it takes a while for stuff to land. So 15 minutes go by, and I finally go, oh, shit. BB's playing footsies with my butt. But she's gay. And Todd's right there. You don't really get very paranoid on dope. So I'm like freaking. I don't know what to do. And of course, you know, it takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes to decide what to do. How do I get out of this one? You know, like it's non-stop. It's like, she won't let up. Don't do it. So I finally get the balls to turn around. they've got this wiener going. And I'm sitting on his ball. And he's been digging my ass for about 45 minutes trying to get to that ball. He dodged the bullet on that one. Take the ball, throw it, dog goes. Very scary moment. Anyway, Todd did a great production on this song. And I'm going to do it for you now. Not the production, I'm going to do the song. It's called Baby Blue. So Breaking Bad was the end of the last show of that. Yes, I got what I deserve. Can't you wait till they're too long? All that time without a word didn't know you'd think that I'd forget. I regret the special love I had for you, my baby blue. All the days became so long. Did you really think I'd do you wrong? Did she, when I let you go, thought you realized the special love I have for you, my baby blue. What can I do? What can I say? He was a Greek kid, and his parents had some money, and he always had like really great equipment. He had a Fender amp and a Strat guitar, and I always had like homemade stuff, homemade crappy amps. So I go over to his place all the time and play his stuff. which you do, you know, that's what you do when you're a musician. So when they're over there and we said, we thought, let's write a song. Come on, the Beatles are doing it, how hard can it be? Right? It's quite difficult. So we wrote this song that I called Painted Girl. And at 15, I think what I meant by Painted Girl was someone who wears makeup. I don't know. None of the girls I knew wore makeup or had breasts. So I think I was shooting like maybe 21, 22, a little above my pay grade for 15-year-old, I think. But anyway, this is a song called Painted Girl that I wrote when I was 15. Enjoy. Just that's how I used to play guitar. I should stick my tongue out a little bit.
She walks down the street, cutest thing in the world. Smelling so sweet, she's a painted girl. All her men take her when she passes by. Their hearts will burn when she gives them the eye. She's in the painted girl. She's in the painted girl. Cause she likes to hurt like painted girl. Pretty. Ever since we said goodbye.
Well, I'm dating a 22-year-old.
All I've ever done is cry. I don't know what to do without you. I gave the rings, I gave it diamonds and furs.
Seriously? For 15 minutes, you give her diamonds and furs?
I gave her everything when it was hers. I gave her my love and my money too.
$1.50 of my allowance.
She had me love, sad, lonely and blue. She's just a painted girl. Sing with me. She's just a painted girl. She's just a painted girl.
And this I thought was an awesome Beatle chord. So you don't have to clap, it is what it is. But at 15, when the Beatles were just exploding, it sounded a little different in my head. Well-oiled machine, there are well-oiled machine. There are no problems here. Hey, we need to show in New York where everything collapsed. I just had to sit there and go, well, shit happens. Maddie, do it again. What yin yang is all about, because stuff was just starting to take off for me and my dad dies. So I understood then that nothing is ever all wonderful, or actually I'm never all bad. There's always the other side of it. And I could only get 5 lines out about the death of my dad first. So I wrote this song called April 24th, 1981, so I'd always remember the date that he died. And I'm going to play that for you, but I'm also going to play a song I wrote called My Father's Chair that took me about 3 years to be able to work up to writing that song. And do you all know what cricket is? It's the English game, you know, when you dress in white and
yes.
Hit a ball around. It's like baseball on Percocet Valley. It's a horrible game. Worst game in the world. But my dad loved it. And as he was dying, he'd sit in this leather rocking chair and watch cricket all day long. It was the greatest joy for him. And the day he died, I walked into that room to
to get something, and I saw that chair sitting there. And I realized that he wouldn't be coming back. And so that image stayed with me. And I wrote this song for my dad. I know all the life you wondered about that step we all take along. How far does the spirit travel on the journey? You must surely be near heaven.
This way. No!
well-oiled machine up here. All right, from the sublimely ridiculous. So, Sammy Hager wrote this song. And Sammy recently just sold his tequila company for $80 gazillion. The fucker didn't have enough money. But he sent me a bottle of his private stock tequila and said to Rick, "You've done everything for me, love, Sammy." I thought, I don't drink tequila, but I thought, that's a really cool gift. I'm going to, you know, keep his little keepsake, put it up on the shelf in the kitchen. You know, just pull it out one at night and say, check this out. So I came home one night. My sons had a drunken party going on. They were all drunk on tequila. My tequila. Sammy Hagar's tequila. Bottles on the floor, all broken and labeled off and completely empty. I hope they threw up all night. This one-way love affair ain't there anymore, baby. It's all can I take and you just think it. I can't take it, see. I'm giving up all the this time. Me and my friends will do just fine. You knew someday I'd have a whole lot of money. I'd be a millionaire. And that didn't happen. Overnight I found out how much you really cared. All you wanted was a whole lot of money. All the rest. Everything for you. You brought nothing for me. Everything for you. Well, I'll miss you. You didn't know how to love a man. All those things about making love, you didn't understand. Now you know about everything. I'm turning you in for memories. That doesn't rhyme, by the way. I got everything for you. Everything for you. You've done nothing for me. Wanna scream tonight, so be a loose high afraid. I don't care what the people say. I'm king of my mind, I'm changing the state.
I've done everything for you.
You got nothing for me, I've done everything for you. You done nothing for me. You done nothing for me. You done nothing. You done nothing. You done nothing. I wanted to do something original that just pertains to this solo show. So I put my heads together. Sorry, it's a joke on you guys. Shut up. And I came up with this song. My favorite story as a kid. Ladies and gentlemen, this is George Estes. Not only is he handsome, he's also good looking. I'm sorry, great looking. Thank you. Thank you. So, when I...
Hang on, don't go away. Oh, the microphone stands on the tuner.
It's called Tuning, it's a new song. How do you like it so far? Close enough. I don't play guitar here. Can you tell if that's out of tune?
Not.
It is? You can tell? You're the only one. Trust me. Okay, so this song, when I was a kid, my favorite kid story is Aladdin and the Lamp. I love the idea of getting something for nothing. And you wish for something and it just happens. Don't we all want that? But they only got three wishes. And the guy always screwed it up, right? He always wished for something stupid and then it bit him in the butt. So, even as a kid, I thought, dude, first wish for a million more wishes. Duh, because they don't tell you can't do that in the book. So, I wish for stuff constantly. I'm always wanting stuff. I'm one of those people that like, I want that Christmas tree. It's an awesome Christmas tree, but really good in my house. But I learned that to make something happen, you have to turn the wishes into action, which I've tried to do for the important things in my life. And I just wish for the frivolous shit. So there's a phrase that was in Scotland, which is, it's very topical. It's perfect for a country song. 16th century Scottish phrase, if wishes were fishes. Anybody know that phrase? Now you do. Thank you. If wishes were fishes, we would all cast our net. Right? Wishes are meaningless, you know. Otherwise, we'd all, you know, if you got what you want, wish for, we'd all do it and we'd all have everything. There's another version, if wishes were horses, even beggars would ride. So, I took that very, very topical title and wrote a song about it. So if I had a million wishes, I hope I would make some wonderful wishes for the world. Thank you, very altruistic, isn't it? We're getting ready. Here we go. It's called, hey, let me see if my click is working. Give me a little test, ready? Oh, that'll work. Okay, here we go. It's called Wishes with Fishes. I'd wish for no wars to silence the guns, for all the troubles to be little ones, every child in the world to eat their fill, with a guardian angel on each windowsill. Wish for the wealth to be spread around, every soul when they pass to be heaven-bound. And before I'd wish for all that crap I've said, maybe I could wish a thing or two for me. I wish my neighbor would choke on his yappy dog. Wish I could pick my relatives from a catalog. A hot girl next door pretend wearing nothing but a smile. Wish I could get that knighthood from the queen. I wish folks would quit calling me Rick Springsteen. I wish the IRS would permanently misplace my file. I wish the starter on my damn Corvette would work. I wish I'd never seen my Osiris work. My design seems so real, and I feel like a fraud. I wish that we were all equal in the eyes of God. If wish were fishes, we wouldn't smell so sweet. There'd be a million dead fish lying at my feet. I wish and I wish to make my life complete. I want to drink from that wishing cup. The real life steps in the screw it up. Wish every goddamn body would learn to drive and stop cutting me off on interstate 5. And I wish Scarlett Johansson would give me a call. 865-309. I wish money flowed like the falls of Niagara. I wish I'd quit getting emails for
cheap Viagra. I was in the subway, somehow I could have it all. Wish I was 21 again, let the good times roll. My only worry back then was, does she have birth control? I'm not a doctor, but yeah, I played one on TV. To take a look for free. The pressure of fishing with a smell too good, with a bunch of dead fish around the neighborhood. I'm not the only one who wishes, cause this is Hollywood, where all the freaky shit goes through. Maybe a wish or two. Wish every politician wasn't a self-serving dick. Wish I had Google Anthony Wiener's wiener. Would I go hit with a stupid stick? I wish on the stage Lincoln was still our president. Did I settle for Jesus or Clark Kent? The wishes of fishes everybody would eat. Though we'd all be sick of fish by the end of the week. I got a shake of suspicion I'm not the only three. Who's wishing a blind drunk love. I'm getting none of it. What the fuck? What the fuck?
So, if anyone know who Penny Hanson is? Penny Hanson is Keith Richards' wife, right, for the Stones. And she was his girlfriend when we did a movie together. This girl's hard to swallow? No, wait. Hard to swallow. Nope. Hard to watch. No, I'm sorry, hard to hold. Yes, that was so Patty was playing opposite me in that movie. We were getting along really great. She's a very spirited girl, and you know, we'd hang out in between shooting and everything, and nothing underhanded going on, but just, you know, getting along well. And I guess Keith heard about it. I'm going out to check out this Springfield guy. What's going on? So Keith comes down to the set, and I turn into a 14-year-old girl. Oh my God, it's Keith Richards from the Stones. You know, he saw that we, you know, there was nothing weird going on. We just, you know, just hanging out. So I had my photo taken with him, and Keith, of course, looks like Dracula, of course, like he said. So I wrote this song about Patty, and it's more a projection. You know, writers will like see someone, will see a girl, and you know, a situation, and project what. Something onto that, but it comes from a moment of truth. I mean, there's definitely a feeling there at the beginning. So I wrote this song around my fantasy of Patty.
I can see the path you're cutting, causing me a little piece of my heart. I can see the doors you're shutting. They were open at the start, baby. Nothing you could have found on me. You're a top little sister, but you'll settle for things good at night. But you run out of time, you better find somebody. It's way too bad about somebody. Don't wait too bad about somebody. Come on, have things going just a little too far. Your eyes are wild, the skin so white. You're unembarrassed and no fit. She's got good teeth, she knows how to bite. Just when you get out of bed, you got the perfect image of the perfect man. You're a top little sister looking for Mr. Right. All the folks out of town, you better love somebody. It's way too bad. Don't wait, you better love somebody, don't.
look no too far. I'm only saying what I feel. You think I'm a wanderer, but I was sleeping at the wheel. I thought that you were driving. You better love somebody. You better love somebody. You better love somebody. It's late, you better love somebody. Don't wait, you better love somebody. No, can't beat your goal, but it's just a little too far. Oh, one night. Oh, one night.
Arguments are great for songs, right? And I have been known to force arguments to get a song going. Anyone know Doug Davidson, my friend Doug Davidson? Played Paul on the Young Restless. Paul Williams on the Young Restless. He was in a fan event. We have a fan event every year, a five-day fan event where we're drunken carousing. We take over a club bed somewhere and we drink and play songs and have Q&A. It was amazing, the last one. It was really the best one of all. And Doug was there. And this song I wrote after Doug's wedding. Doug married his hot girlfriend, Cindy, in 1983. And I was coming back from, driving back from the wedding, and my wife and I had another big argument. She's my girlfriend, and another huge argument. It's great for songs. Really, next time you have an argument, go write a fucking song. It's a great way, great place to put it. Or a poem. That son of a bitch. Not like that kind of poem. Poetic. So I thought our relationship was over, and I always thought that we'd be together forever. Luckily, I was right. But at this point, I didn't believe that. So I used to think it was written in stone what we would become, my wife and I, my girlfriend. So I wrote this song about that called Written in Rock.
On my way back from a wedding, I drove around some old street. I got swept up by the memories of cold nights and warm sheets. I parked outside the house we lived in, tried to figure out a way. All I remembered was the laughter and the precious trust we can't replace. There comes everybody. There will be no consolation grief. We may have known this by a mile, only by the skin of our teeth. And I thought we were the real thing. I had the bloody coat and the wedding ring. Nothing's written in rock. I know I'm not the one. Why would I get to be pretending? Of the young dealer at life's door. This world could tear your soul to pieces, Yeah, they give them a chance. There are no rules to remember. There are no written steps to dance. I don't believe in faith. I don't believe in the blind luck on the draw. I don't believe in love. I mean, I don't believe anymore.
It's really hard to sneak out with nobody in the front row. So, in 1980, I was having a really hard time songwriting. You know, you go through writer's blocks. And so I thought, well, you know, I haven't had a record deal in like 4 years. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm not going to be a musician. Maybe it's not in the cards. So I'll do the next obvious thing, which is... stained glass master. Right? I said, I'm going to make stained glasses. I'm going to go around, all around the world and make beautiful church windows. What a great career. So I got out the phone book and I looked up stained glass classes. I found one in Pasadena, which is, you know, I used to live in Glendale at the time. And I walked in and I was already become this amazing stained glass master. And this hot girl walked in. And then her boyfriend walked in. She was Barnum, but she didn't really notice me. I'm kind of over here. Hello? Nothing. So I took my unrequited lust home, and I wrote a song about it, which you do with that stuff, right? Arguments, unrequited lust. Oh, good song material. And her boyfriend's name is Gary. Really work in the song. Sorry if there's any Garys out there, but Richard wouldn't have worked either.
Richard! You're a very naughty boy!
So I tried Randy and that didn't work either, but thank God I finally came up with the right name.
Jesse, you're a friend. Yeah, no, you've been a good friend of mine. But lately something changed and ain't hard to define. Jesse got himself a girl and a woman named mine. And she watched me with those eyes. And she loved me with that body like a cigar. And spoke with her girls on with a little night. You know I wish that I'd catch me, girl.
That doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cheap. I want to tell her that I love her, but I'm coming back again. She'll sing about tea with those eyes, and she loves it with that body. I just know it. And it's cold and cold is on late at night. You know, I wish that I.
George Bernhardt, my guitar player, because he can make anything out of coconuts. He can make a boat and a shortwave radio out of coconuts. Second would have to be my wife. And third would have to be my dog.
Oh, I like this one. If you could do a duet with any living singer, who would it be and why? And that's from Amy.
I just called him, you know. Paul McCartney.
Excellent.
I got close with the Sound City album. I had a song on the same album as Paul. We just weren't together.
What has been your greatest challenge as a musician and a family man?
Wow, that's pretty all encompassing. As a musician, I think my ADD, overcoming my ADD. And as far as a family man, overcoming my ADD.
Who is your biggest musical inspiration? That's from Elizabeth.
You are. My biggest musical inspiration. Well, I guess so far it's the girl that I wrote Jesse's Girl about, right? All the early stuff for the Beatles and Rodgers and Hammerstein actually were real important to me. The show, they wrote show tunes and that's all my parents played and I learned to write, I think, from listening to them. Oklahoma, every night, my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch your heart make me know. Come on, sing along. Lazy circles in the sky. You know we belong to the land. Come on! And the land we belong to is grand. And let me say, oh, I get by over here. We're only saying, you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, OKLA. I don't think there's one about Philadelphia. I don't think there's one about Philadelphia.
Elton John did.
Yes, Elton did.
And what is your favorite album by another artist? And that's from Randy.
I couldn't pick it. There's too many great ones. I do like the Beatles' second album, particularly. I like the Church album, Blurred Crusade. If you don't have that, you should go get it. It's awesome. It's from the 80s, though. I like Porcupine Tree. All their albums are awesome. But you can't really pick one. Actually, Songs for the End of the World is my favorite album.
Who is your idol and why? And that's from Debbie. This is separate.
Didn't I just ask you that?
No, this is separate from the biggest musical influence. This is who's your biggest idol?
Biggest idol? I guess Andre the Giant. He was about the tallest.
Is there anything along the way that you didn't do that you wish you had done? And that's from Danny.
Yes, taking my ADD medication before I came. I'm working on doing everything. I have my first novel coming out in May. It's called Magnificent Vibration. If you all go out and buy 10 copies, it'll be awesome. Make it the New York Times bestseller. Stephen King has a copy right now. He's reading it. And we're hoping to get some good press on it.
This one is from Trisha D. She said, you were my very first crush. So who was your very first crush?
Haley Mills. Remember Haley Mills? Haley Mills, Pollyanna, you know, original Parents Trap. I was 10 years old, and I was living in England, and I wrote to her, said, please send me a photo. She sent me a photo to Richard Love Haley. And every night I'd go to bed and I'd kiss it. I still have that photo, I still have those lip marks on it. But see? Haley? Seriously? I have a figure that's so rare, it's in none of the movies. It's a Turkish bootleg figure called Headman, and I have one of only two known copies on a card, carded copy. And it's the cool thing about it is it's so cheesy. You know, all the toys you love as a kid, they're kind of cheesy compared to a lot of the stuff now. And I love all that cheesy stuff.
This one's from Scott, and it says, how much of your career has been a spiritual journey?
Oh, God, that's all. continual, as a continual. In fact, my novel is again another search for that. All my songs somewhere have a spiritual underpinning, and I think it's going to be continual. So I finally become committed or atheist.
This one's from Gina in New Jersey, and she said, "You once said you were going to cover Sex is on Fire from Kings of Leon, but you didn't. Is there any chance that that will happen?"
Did I say that? Wow. I was drunk at a bar. Sorry, yes, that doesn't count. Good song.
Jennifer wants to know, have you picked a location for your vacation in 2014?
The fan getaway. We're looking at the Bahamas, but we're trying to keep it, you know, like so everyone that wants to come can come, you know. Which was why Florida was great, but maybe, I don't know, Mexico or maybe the Bahamas. We're looking right now, actually, and we'll let you know for sure.
Are there any plans to work with your sons in the future and have them on tour?
No. My sons have their own paths, and they're great kids, and they don't need me.
And what are your sons doing?
They're loafing. Now, my eldest son is a singer, a songwriter, and a guitar player, and a keyboard player, and also a really brilliant actor. And my youngest son, Josh, is working with an internet company right now, and is looking to do his own thing with that, too.
Sweet.
Very clever kid.
And we could actually take some questions in the audience right now, if we have time. Let's do the girl right here, raising her hand. Yeah, you.
Can you go, can I be your sponsor for A?
They're all raising their hands. I think they're confused.
I'm pointing with the girl next to the man with the white shirt and the tie. Right there, yeah.
Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Can you do some more songs for us?
The human touch, we all need.